The following is a KVON Sports presentation. It's high school baseball coming to you from Napa, California, from Braves Field at Justin Siena. As the Justin Siena Braves are hosting the Marin Catholic Wildcats, it's MCAL Baseball. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Ira C. Smith here at Braves Field, joined today by Alan Rossi. And we say it when we come out of this beautiful weather. What a day to be at the ballpark.
Definitely. You can't ask for a better day weather-wise. A lot of rain in the past, but now we have one of the nicest days we've had in the Valley. So the field looks great, and it sets up for two fine baseball programs.
And this should be an interesting contest this afternoon. We're happy to have you along with us, so thanks for tuning in. And if you've been listening to the program as far as Fox Sports, we invite you to stay right there because we've got some local baseball to tell you about. And also, because Marin Catholic was a little delayed in arriving here at Braves Field, the coach for the Wildcats, Jesse Fulford, said that his team is on the road 2 hours to get here from Kent Field.
Yeah, you know, the Marin teams won't miss coming over here on a Friday after this year. It takes them quite a while to get over here because of the traffic on Fridays heading this way. So this is a common thing for Marin teams to be a little late on a Friday when they're coming over here to play.
And our broadcast is sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley Sports Boosters. Charles Kennedy is our engineer at the KVON studio. And since we knew that the team would be a bit delayed in arrival, we talked to the lacrosse coach of Justin Siena, as his squad is also hosting the Marin Catholic Wildcats today. And just behind us, and the lacrosse team must have left earlier because they got here on time and they're about ready to go. And so before we start talking to the coaches and giving you the lineup for our varsity action for high school baseball, Justin Siena hosting Marin Catholic, we're going to find out a little more about the sport of lacrosse and how it is growing here in the Napa area. As we spoke to John Murray, his team hosting Marin today, and they come in with a 5-7 record.
First, tell us about the number of MCAL teams that are represented in lacrosse this year.
I believe all the MCAL schools have lacrosse teams.
Mm-hmm. It makes it pretty competitive for the season.
Yeah, it's a very competitive league in the North Bay area.
How about Justin Siena? How's the turnout been for lacrosse at all levels?
We're varsity only the last 2 years. We suffered with some fallout and participation. Coaching has been all over the place recently. I'm trying to steady it a little bit. We've grown from last year. Unfortunately, we have some injuries this year we're dealing with, but the season's been pretty good.
Are there some younger players that are starting to take up the game?
Yeah, we're definitely a young team. Majority of our players have never played lacrosse before. So we're not only teaching the game, but we're also trying to win games at the varsity level, so it's definitely a unique challenge. But we've had some good young talent step up these last 2 years.
Will there be lacrosse in that new league next year?
Yeah, so the new league, the Vine Valley Athletic League, will have a lacrosse league. It's a little smaller, and for league play, all the league teams are going to play each other twice. So it'll be some good rivals.
We have an opportunity as far as scheduling non-league teams like those in the MCAL?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try to look to keep some MCAL rivalries every year. And make it out to as many of them as I can.
When are your games usually played?
Games for MCAL have been Tuesday, Thursday, and April at 4:30 because we're a varsity-only team. And out of conference play, it was Monday, Wednesday, Friday games.
Great. Well, that's some information as far as lacrosse is concerned, and that was John Murray, who is the coach for Justin Siena. And I was chatting with him a little bit, Alan, and he said there are going to be some additional teams in the league for lacrosse that are not in that Vine Valley league as far as next year.
You know that lacrosse has really taken off in the last few years. It's become a very popular sport. And so I know Justin Siena, they started off really well when they first brought the program on in Justin Siena, but now it's kind of started to drop off. But kids seem to really, really enjoy playing it. So But, again, you have to have, you know, a decent coach that's running a good program. So it sounds like maybe they're headed back in the right direction. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how many teams are going to be in the new league. But
well, I know Rancho Cotati is going to be in it, and that is not a team that is going to be in the regular Vine Valley League.
Yeah, so it's like I said, it's a rough sport. it's definitely a sport that you better be tough at, because a lot of body checking and so it can get pretty rough.
Well, as we heard John Murray say, he's lost some players because of injury.
I could see that definitely, because it's a contact sport. You know, a lot of bodies hitting each other and with their sticks and things like that. So, I've watched it a couple times, and I know I wouldn't want to play it.
We'll be back and play some baseball here at Braves Field in just a moment. Take a time out and come back and hear from the coaches, Jeremy Tayson at Justin Siena and Jesse Fulford over at Marin Catholic after this time out. You're in tune with KVON, 1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. Along with Alan Rossi, former head baseball coach, we should say, here at Justin Siena, this is Ira C. Smith. As we were taking a look, Alan, at a score sheet from last year when we broadcast from Braves Field, and the starting lineup included Addison Holzkamp, Hatzel, Austin Natuzzi, Jake Wright, Nate Kaufman, Emilio Cordova, Zach Bonzani, Joe San Giacomo, Noah Stickles. Those were eight. And you know what those eight had in common?
They're not in the lineup today.
They're all graduated. They were eight seniors. The only non-senior that started was the catcher, Matt Baker.
Yes, and Matt got hurt in football, and he's not playing this year.
That's right. So, talk about Jeremy Tayson and welcoming the team this year. Not too many familiar faces there.
Yeah, they're pretty young. Jeremy's still trying to make his stamp on the program, and so a lot of seniors last year, and now he's kind of rebuilding through the younger kids, which is always a good thing.
Well, this is his second year as the head coach, although he has been in the program for 5 years. That meant he was in the program when you were coaching.
Yeah, I brought Jeremy in as one of my freshman coaches. Really liked what he brought to the program. He has a ton of passion.
He does.
I really like Jeremy. I think that just being a young coach, he's still trying to find his way, but his heart is in the right place. He's teaching the game the way it needs to be played. And so, things might be a little right now, but in the future, I think Justin Siena baseball is on the rise.
Looking at Marin Catholic, the Wildcats come in with a record of 8-5 overall. They are 5-2 in league play, and they're coached by Jesse Fulford. This is his sixth year as the head coach. That means that he also came in contact against you on the other side of the field.
Yeah, Jesse's a great coach. Obviously, played Major League Baseball as a pitcher, and so he brings that knowledge to the high school level, and I have a ton of respect for Jesse. He does a really good job with his team, very respectful. They play the game the way it needs to be played. We had great rivalry with them throughout the years, and mutual respect between the programs.
Well, let's find out what he says about the program for this year.
Well, Jesse, the Wildcats are always competitive. What about this season on the baseball scene?
It's been a little bit of an up and down year, but I like the direction we're headed for sure.
Tell us a bit about what has been working so far for this team.
Pitching's been pretty solid. We've been early in the year is not quite where we needed to be, but it's been definitely trending in the right direction. Defense has been solid. Offense, for the most part, we're doing a good job, and there's always room for improvement there.
Looking at your roster, it seems that you do have numbers on the team.
We do. There's a team manager that's on that roster and a couple kids that won't be playing this year just because of injuries, but definitely carrying a little more than normal, that's for sure.
What have you noticed as far as MCAL baseball? Is it something that continues to be very competitive?
Yeah, that's the best part about the league is it seems like anyone can beat anybody at any time. So, and especially, coaching at Marin Catholic, we understand that we have a target on our back, and I appreciate it as a coach, and I hope, you know, these players appreciate it as well, that we're always going to get everyone's best effort.
Since this is your sixth year, you were coaching against Alan Rossi.
Yep. But, you know, I just walked in and saw Alan, and definitely miss seeing him across the diamond, and got a lot of respect for him as a coach and as a person.
Well, I know you were an athlete. Tell us about what you did when you were back in high school and went on to college.
You know, played baseball and basketball at Centerville High, and then went on and played baseball at USF.
And what can you tell us about assistants? Do you have some regular guys that are helping you?
Definitely. Actually, two of my assistants went to USF as well. Just they're a little younger, and they played after me. And then a new assistant that played at University of Texas and then played in the minor leagues with a handful of organizations for, you know, 6 or 7 years. So it's really fortunate to have a solid staff.
You have many games to make up from the rain?
No, we're all caught up. That's the beauty of turf.
Well, the coaches that he did not mention that are his assistants, Chris Bacciolupi, Adam Clear, and Chase Fontaine, assisting Jeff. And he didn't mention about his professional baseball career, though. He just stopped at the college level.
Yeah, he's pretty humble, you know, when it comes to that. And, you know, like he said, Marin Catholic has a target on their chest every time they go out, you know, no matter what sport it is. You know, and you want that as a coach, because you know if you've got that target on your chest, that means you're pretty darn good, and teams want to beat you because they know you're the best. So, yeah, Marin Catholic has always been tough. What I've noticed about Marin Catholic in the past is they usually start off a little bit slow, but then all of a sudden they pick it up, and then towards the end of the season they're phenomenal.
You think they're going to take infield here yet?
It looks like that they're getting ready to. I don't know if they're actually going to take it, but
Yeah, if they don't, we'll be ready to go. But if not, we'll have a chance to hear from the coach for Justin Siena, Jeremy Tayson. So we'll find out in just a moment. We'll take a timeout and be back here as we continue with our countdown to that first pitch. Welcome back to Braves Field here in Napa, California. Along with Alan Rossi, Ira C. Smith, as doesn't look like the Wildcats are going to take their infield.
Doesn't look like it. You know, they took a lot of ground balls that look like out in the outfield and fly balls, so Jesse probably just says, let's roll. So it looks like they've got their helmets on, ready to hit. But the umpires probably, I know one of the umpires was caught in traffic too, so he might be a little bit late.
Yeah, so not sure how much time we have, but in the meantime, we do have a chance to hear some of the comments, at least from the Justin Siena head coach, Jeremy Tayson. This is his second year as the head coach.
Well, Jeremy, looking at last year's roster and this year's roster, not too many repeaters back on the squad.
Yeah, it's funny. Last year we had a lot of returners, but not many with much experience, and this year it's a pretty fresh bunch all the way across the board, which is fun and exciting because we're kind of learning some things the hard way and learning on the fly, which is, you know, it's as valuable a lesson as you can get, for sure.
Well, it's another good thing to plan for the future and that new league next year, as you have a lot of these guys are returning with, you got 9 juniors, a couple sophomores, and even a freshman on the varsity.
Yeah, that's a point well taken, and we're definitely excited about what's ahead, with a mind that, you know, what we're taking care of now is pretty important too. But definitely down the road, we like what we have coming back, and even on the junior varsity as well.
Do you have many rainouts to reschedule due to the inclemency that we had last month?
We just have 2. We were able to kind of get a handful in a short burst of time. I think we played 4 games in 7 days at one point here, so we were able to minimize, you know, cramming those in, because after this week we get into those 3-game MCAL weeks, and those are tough enough as is.
Well, speaking of tough enough, you had an outstanding catcher last year who was only a junior, but football kind of took him out of the baseball sport.
Yeah, losing Matt's tough. That took a little bit of wind out of our sails. He's a dude who's, both between him and his brother, have been in our program for, this would be their 8th year, so that definitely was something that was kind of a gut punch for us. But you know, we feel good about John Horn and Sebastian Bond, who are the 2 guys that were behind him. So we were, quote unquote, lucky to still have some good depth behind there. But of course, losing Matt, a captain, that's not fun for anyone. To feel really bad for him, who's put a lot into it.
You know? So Matt Baker, then, did he blow out a knee? Or?
Yeah, it was ACL and I believe MCL with a little bit of meniscus too. So that was in the third football game against Hercules, so he didn't even get any during the MCAL season.
Who's working with you this year as far as your varsity program?
So we have three other coaches other than myself. We have Craig Ray returning. He's kind of our bench coach. And then two new coaches, Adam Hicks, who's also a teacher here. He comes over from Miramani High School. And then Mark Young, who played some professional baseball, was just a hair away from the Toronto Blue Jays, finishing up in their AAA organization in the early 90s, about when, like, you know, Joe Carter was dancing around the bases in 93, I think.
Field looks in great condition.
Yeah, we work hard on it. I spend a lot of time out here myself, and then we have a crew that comes out here a couple times a week. So, you know, I'm always nitpicking some more things that could be better, but we're happy with where it's at right now. And with one more week of sun, we can get it mowed a little lower and get it playing a little faster because it's still pretty slow.
Well, that was the coach for Justin Siena, Jeremy Tayson, and Alan Rossi had alluded to that he had seen one of the umpires that he recognized, but I don't see him here yet.
Yeah, no, he was in traffic. I know that. So hopefully he'll be here soon because, you know, one thing you don't want to do is wait on the umpires to get the game in.
Well,
so.
The two teams are ready now. Neither team in the outfield there as far as they're both in their dugout areas.
Yeah.
Let's tell you about the lineup now for the Justin Siena Braves as they'll have Garrett Hagberg playing at first base. Mario Smoots will be the second baseman. Will Natuzzi will be the shortstop. Nolan Dunkel will be at third base. Dom Moore out in left field. Noah Young will be out in center field. And Ethan Wesson will be the right fielder. Behind the plate is John Horn. And the pitcher is Tommy Lopez. Let's find out what we can learn about the starting pitcher for Justin Siena. He is 0-1 coming into this game. This will be his sixth appearance on the varsity mound. He is a junior. He's worked 12 and two-thirds innings so far. He's struck out six, and he has walked but four, so shows some pretty good control.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So it's a good game for him to pitch today against Marin Catholic, see where he's at. Mm.
And let's find out what his coach has to say about him.
Tommy, well, he's a wrestler. So he was one of the best wrestlers in the MCAL this past year at the 132-pound weight class, and he takes that same kind of tenacity into his business out here. He's not going to overpower you by any means, but he's not going to give in either. He pounds the strike zone, and if he's throwing the ball well and he's keeping the ball down, he's a pretty tough guy to get through against. So you'll see a lot of balls in play, but hopefully it's a lot of weak contact, and he's utilizing all his pitches. He doesn't throw anything straight, and you'll see he's pretty tenacious out there, and we'll hope that he keeps the ball down.
Well, Alan, we have seen at least one umpire.
They're both here.
There's the other one, right?
Walking out.
Okay. So we'll be set for baseball. Let's take a look at Marin Catholic Wildcats. They'll be up to bat first, and Harry Mauterer will be playing third base and leading off. Eli Larson will be the shortstop hitting second. Ben Skinner out in right field batting third. Their cleanup batter is the left fielder, Jay Tarkington. At first base is Dylan Joyce. The center fielder is Von Mauterer. They're both juniors, by the way. I don't know if that makes them twins or not, but
could be.
Both in the same class, and Mauterer, their last name. Tito Vasquez will be the second baseman, batting seventh. Jack Brubaker will be hitting eighth and doing the catching. And Maxwell Manning, who is just a sophomore, gets the starting assignment.
Yeah, I know Jesse has a couple of really top-notch pitchers, I think maybe even going to D1 school, so it doesn't look like they're throwing one of those guys today, and so maybe this can be an opportunity for Justin Siena. I know Justin's missing one of their best players, and Asher's hitter that has kind of had a hip issue. So
that's too bad. Yeah, he's been leading off this season and playing shortstop, and that's a very important assignment. They've got Will Natuzzi at that position today.
Yeah, if it's something that's nagging, you know, the thing is you want to be healthy, you know, towards the latter half of the season. So if it's something that, you know, he needs to take some time off to heal that, talking with Sarah The trainer, it sounded like that he could have played today if really needed to, and Jeremy decided not to. Just, you know, they've got some games coming up next week, I think maybe three games, so he wants to make sure he's healthy for that.
Well, the team batting first will be the Marin Catholic Wildcats, but when the Braves come to the plate in the bottom half of the inning, we have a guy that was not on the defensive side of the baseball today, is Max Castellucci. He is a junior, and he will be the designated hitter batting in the eighth spot. And that is a familiar name, not Max, but Castellucci here at Justin Siena.
Yeah, Mark Castellucci played for me for 2 years as our catcher. Actually, was three-year, actually, varsity player, and a really great catcher, Mark. And Mark's still playing. Mark's still actually still playing baseball. And so Max is...
Did we see him with the Silverados?
Maybe someday. Yeah. Maybe someday, but I know he's still playing. So, you know, Max, I've known Max growing up, and so he's been injured. So he's still a little bit injured, but he's on the mend, so it looks like they're going to try him at DH today. I don't think he can throw yet, but he'll be able to swing a bat.
This game was originally scheduled to start at 4:30, so we're about 17 minutes delayed in getting start, but the Justin Siena baseball team is ready to come out onto the field. They're down to our left, and down to our right, the Wildcats are sending some of their players out there in the on-deck circle. Harry Mauterer is swinging some bats down there. He's the leadoff guy, and Eli Larson's coming out there, standing beside him. And the Braves are taking the field, as we gave you the information. Hagberd at first, Smoots at second, Natuzzi at short, and Dunkel at third, with Moore, Young, and Wesson in the outfield. John Horn, the catcher, and a right-hander on the mound taking some warm-ups right now is Tommy Lopez, a junior.
Yeah, like Jeremy said, I guess he was a heck of a wrestler. So, you know, it's what I've learned in the MCAL is if you can control all three pitches and change speeds and hit spots, you'll be successful. But if you live with one pitch, the fastball, you'll have a very long day. So if he can control his pitches and keep Marin Catholic off balance, he'll be successful.
The Wildcats come in with a team batting average of .289 on the season. Their on-base percentage is .369, and their pitching staff has recorded a 2.54 earned run average.
Typical MC team, you know, great pitching. They'll play good defense. Hitting-wise, they'll do what they have to push some runs across. I know Jesse had mentioned that the offense is a little bit behind the pitching right now, but... You know, again, I'm looking at the standings. They're 5-2. They're in third place. They're a game behind Redwood, who's 6-1, and Drake is 7-1. Marin Catholic coming off a tough loss, I guess, on Tuesday to Drake, who I guess they have a pitcher. I think he might have actually been the player of the year last year for Drake. So,
and he's back.
And he's back. So, anyway, Drake's been tough the last umpteen years, even when we played him. So.
All right. Well, let's get ready. Let's get this ball game underway. Play ball, they say, as Marin Catholic is coming to the plate. The team out of Kentfield coming into Napa after that bus ride that was delayed because of a lot of traffic on a Friday. The Braves are set. Mauter is set at the plate, and we're ready for the opening pitch. And there it is. He showed bunt, took the pitch. It was over for a called strike one. Mauter plays third base defensively. He's just a junior, getting set now as Lopez gets the sign. And he's working from, not taking much of a windup, more from the stretch in his breaking pitch. Broke to the outside there.
Yeah, it started on over the plate and then kind of went off the outside corner there. So 1-1 on its count.
Fulford, the head coach, coaching down the third baseline. The next pitch comes in a little high and a little tight to the right-handed batter.
A little up too.
2-1 the count to the leadoff batter here in our ball game this afternoon from Marin Catholic out of Kentfield. The Wildcats, as Lopez delivery swung at and missed for strike two. And a nice cut at the ball, but a good pitch there by Lopez. The Justin Siena Braves earned run average is poor at 4.33.
Yeah, it's a little bit high for high school.
Here's the next delivery, and that missed outside. It runs a count full to leadoff batter Mauter. Larson on deck with Skinner to follow here in the top half of the first inning. Marin Catholic with 12 seniors, 9 juniors, and 2 sophomores on the roster. Right-hander delivers, and the pitch is taken just a little high, not too much, but enough to give him ball 4, and that'll give Malter a free pass down to first base with nobody out, leading off here the first inning.
Yeah, the pitch was a little inside, so he's trying to work the corners.
Going to be Larson, a junior. He plays shortstop defensively. Check on him, Alan, see what type of batting average your second batter has here in just a moment. Short lead off of first. As the pitch came inside, he had to back away from it.
He's batting 304, so that's pretty good. He's one of the higher batting averages on the team. So, you know, usually your two hitters, you want to be able to handle the bat a little bit. So, looks like that they showed bunt.
Ben Skinner on deck, the number 3 hitter. That's usually one of your top hitters, too.
Yep.
So, contending with the runner at first base, Lopez checks him, pitches outside, ball 2. A little bit of control problem here early going in this top half of the first inning. A walk leading off for Malter Erb, who is staying pretty close to the bag at first. Hegberg holding him on fairly close as Lopez fires over there, and he dives back safely to the bag. Fulford, the coach for the Wildcats, coaching down that third baseline, has actually 3 assistants working with him on the baseball program this year. Pitch on the outside corner for a called strike.
Yeah, 2-1. This is going to be a good action pitch right here. Could run a hit and run here, especially if you got, you know, your 2 hitter, like I said, usually can handle the bat pretty good. So I expect something to be in motion here.
Boy, the center fielder is not playing very deep there. There is the hesitation, the check of the runner. Pitch the plate. There goes the run. The ball's hit towards left field. Left fielder going over, and he's not going to get there. Bounce between the center fielder and the left fielder. Rounding second is Mauderer. He'll go into third base, and on his way to second base with a stand-up double is Eli Larson as he placed the ball between the left fielder and the center fielder, and it went out by the scoreboard and allowed Malter to get to third base. Larson holds up at second base, and Skinner comes up with 2 runners in scoring position and no one out here in the top of the first.
Yeah, that was a fake bunt slash by Marin Catholic. The batter showed bunt, the runner took off, and then hit. So it was we used to call it a fake bunt slash. It's a hit and run is what it is.
Left-handed batter now, Skinner, the right fielder. The pitch to him caught the outside. Yeah.
Skinner's batting 448,
wow.
So he's definitely their best hitter for sure. So he's got a couple of doubles, it looks like, and so he's got he's only struck out 5 times, which is really, really good in this league.
Tarkington is on deck for the Wildcats. Lopez checks a runner at third base, looks in, and now delivers the fast one that caught the outside corner again while he's trying to work away from the hitters.
Yeah, and that's a good take. That was a little bit outside. Definitely looking for something he can turn on here now. Now with 2 strikes, he's just got to put the ball in play. The infield's playing back. They're conceding the run, so it's important to be a if you are going to make an out, to be a productive out.
This early in the game, near the top of the first, the next pitch, the ball is hit to the shortstop, over his head, out into left field. Moore comes over, fields the ball, holding at third base is Mauder, or rather is Larson, as Harry Mauder has scored from third base. Ben Skinner gets an RBI single, and that sends Larson over to third base, and it's 1-0 here in the first inning.
That's a great job by Skinner. 2 outside pitches that were questionable, and then with 2 strikes, he didn't. You know, he just went with the pitch and
didn't try to overpower it.
He didn't. Went right over the shortstop's head. That's a great sign of a hitter right there to, you know, take a couple of tough pitches, and then finally got to give in at that point with 2 strikes.
No way Natuzzi could have gotten that one anyway.
Tarkenton's batting 300 on the year.
He's a right-handed batter. There goes the runner. There's the throw down to third base, and he slides back in safely. They allowed the runner to go ahead and steal second base and then had a quick throw to third.
Yeah, it was a good fake. It was actually closer than, think Jesse was a little upset because the base runner shouldn't have been off that far.
Well, Larson had to dive back to avoid the tag. No balls, 1 strike to Tarkington as the delivery comes into him. It's been a little inside. Even the count 1-1.
Braves are playing the infield back. You know, again, it's early. So you got to try to limit the damage here. You're already down 1-0. So you got to, you know, if you can get out of this, only being down 2-0, it'd be very fortunate.
Runners at second and third. Nobody out. Here's the pitch. Ooh, almost hit him. Came in close. Up by the letters. 2-1 to Tarkington, the left fielder.
Yeah, Lopez is up. That's the problem. He's got to get the ball down.
Yeah, he's keeping it away from the center of the plate, though.
Yes, he is.
But the Wildcats have been making contact with the ball. Here is the next pitch. That one's a swing and a miss.
Yeah, again, that pitch is up. Very fortunate that that Tarkington missed that pitch.
Dylan Joyce, a junior, is on deck. Tarkington's also a junior, the batter right now. The left fielder, right-hander, levels the bat. The pitcher checks the runner at third and now delivers to the plate. Good stop by Horn behind the plate. On a pitch, it was down a little low. That makes it a full count now on the batter, Tarkington. Fulford saying something to his base runner, Eli Larson, there at third base as he starts to take a lead coming down toward home
plate. It doesn't
get
any better after this because Joyce is batting 421, it looks like.
There, the ball's hit out in left field. Another hit. One run scores. They're waving home the other runner, and that's Skinner. He'll come in to score. And getting at a hold at first base is Tarkington as he drives in two runs here in the first inning. Still nobody out as both Larson and Skinner were able to score on that single to left field.
Yeah, so it again, that pitch is up. And so Lopez, he's got to try to get the ball down, try to throw a ground ball. You know, ground ball right here can at least get you a couple outs with nobody out, maybe turn a double play.
Got to get that first out here. Dylan Joyce, a right-hander, and he hits the ball towards center field. Center fielder going back. It's over his head. It's going to go all the way to the wall. Rounding second is Tarkington. He's being waved home. He'll round third. Rounding second is Joyce. He's going to slide into third base. The overthrow is backed up there by the pitcher. Nice job by Lopez getting back here to back up third baseman. He takes that overthrow, preventing Joyce to score.
Yeah, that was a good job by Lopez. You know, he didn't pout on the mound. He got in his position, has actually knocked that ball down before it got into the dugout. So that was a good job by him.
Wow. Well, that is four consecutive hits after a walk. And it makes the score now, the pitch is over for a strike, 4-0.
Yeah, Motterer is batting 286.
This is Von Motterer. He's a junior, as is his brother. Ball is hit foul, out of play. Well, they finally hit something to right field, albeit a foul ball.
Yeah, and you had made the comment about center fielder being shallow, and especially with the five-hitter up. You know, that's a mistake. Now he's backed up.
Here's the 0-1 delivery, and it's a good stop. It goes to the backstop. Here comes the runner from third. Here's the throw to the pitcher. He slides. Did he call him out?
He's out, yeah.
He called him out. So that is the first out of the inning as Joyce, trying to slide into home plate, was called out.
Yeah, Jesse's not going to be happy about that. You know, you can't make the first out of home plate.
But
you know,
I'm looking at him. He is so calm down the third baseline. He has his hands in his pocket.
Yeah, he's calm.
He just nods his head.
He's calm, but he's shaking his head a little bit. So I can guarantee you he's not happy about that. You can't make that mistake. You know, but you use that as a teaching lesson, you know, in a 4-0 or 5-0 game.
That's
you're ahead.
Yeah, it's a 4-0. That scoreboard is wrong. The ball is hit down to the third baseman, plays it on a high. No, it goes under his glove. He tried to play it on a high hop. Well, are you going to give the third baseman Dunkel an error on
that's
that?
That's an error, yeah.
E5 on the play. Motterer is safe down at first base on the air. Tito Vasquez, the seventh batter, to come to the plate here in the first inning. Only one out yet. That was on an attempted steal of home plate after a wild pitch.
Actually, this is the other. Oh, yeah, that is. You're correct. Yep.
Vasquez, the right-hander, with the runner taking a short lead off of first. And the pitch did break the way that he wanted it to for ball one.
Yeah, so Jesse will use that as a teaching moment. You know, it's nice that you can use those when you're up 4-0 in a game. And so, but definitely something you don't want to make a mistake, especially in a close game. You never want to make the first out at third or home.
Tito Vasquez stepped out of the box for a moment. Now he is back in there. As Vasquez's first name is really Chad. He hits the ball foul out of play. But they call him Tito, so we thought, well, let's call him Tito.
Why not?
Other than Chad Vasquez. Fouled that pitch, even in the count now. One ball, one strike, one out. A lot of ones up there. And his number is one on his jersey.
It's a good number to have.
Across the board, all ones. Here's the pitch. There goes the runner. There's a throw down to the shortstop covering, and sliding under the tag is Mater. He is safe there with the stolen base. There have been four hits in the inning, a walk, an error, and some stolen bases. And we have just one out here in the top half of the first. Right-hander Vasquez with Jack Brubaker, the catcher, on deck. And the pitch is hit foul again off to the right. Lopez, the right-hander on the mound, just a junior.
Yeah, Vasquez is only batting a .172, so definitely a good opportunity to get an out here.
Looking in, Tommy Lopez checks the runner. Now his offering the plate nearly hit him. Boy, he had to back away from that. Nearly got him up around the batting helmet.
Yeah. I don't know how he avoided that.
Came in tight to him. So Vasquez, the seventh batter, trying to get on. It's a full count to him now. Three balls, two strikes. Lopez, there goes the runner at the third, and the pitch is taken inside for ball four. And Moderer gets third base without play. That's the second walk here in the inning.
Lopez had gotten in the habit of just looking once to second base and going to the plate, and Marin Catholic picked up on that.
Yeah.
And so you got to vary your looks to second base. If not, good teams.
Well, looking, just looking down the left field line, nobody warming up yet, but two walks, four hits, an error here, one out in the inning. The eighth batter, Brubaker, the catcher, he's a senior. Runner on the corners, ball outside, nice stop there by John Horn.
Yeah, Brubaker doesn't have an average, so looks like he hasn't really played. He only has two at-bats, so probably walked a couple times.
Well, Tommy Lopez having a bit of a problem getting some outs here in this top half of the first inning. Here's his delivery to the plate. That missed outside. Ball bounced out of the glove of Horn, but not far enough for either runner to advance. Last year, the Wildcats had 15 wins and 12 losses. They were second place in the league at 13-5, and I think Drake was the champion last year.
They were, yes. They were, and in fact, I think they might have won the section, too. They might have won the section championship in D3.
Which is not unusual for the MCAL team to come through there.
No, I think, I know in 2000, I want to say 2014, was the year that we being the MCAL schools, won Division 2, 3, 4, and 5 section championships, which tells you how tough the MCAL is.
Well, there's going to be a conference on the mound now. The Braves need to figure out a way to get out of this top half of the first inning. Give me a chance to ask Alan about how much of an influence Spider Rossi was in his baseball background and your background.
Well, my dad, I mean, I grew up around, you know, him coaching softball for 20-something years.
Yeah, you were a cute little guy. I've seen some of those pictures.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely was young back then, so still feisty, but, definitely. So I got the chance to watch him growing up and really learn the small ball game by him.
Yep, you were great with that. All right, here we go now. It is a two-ball, no-strike count with two runners on. Ball is hit foul down the right field line. I think it's going to fall in foul territory away from the right fielder. As Wesson gave pursuit, Ethan Wesson out there just ran out of space, ran out of territory.
Yeah, Jeremy went out there probably just settle his team down. You know, it still is only the first inning. You're only down 4-0.
Yeah, looking out there off of the left field, we'll go to this in a moment, but Brubaker at the plate gets ready. The throw goes to first base, though, so he'll back out of the batter's box. We see the softball field for Justin Siena, and that's not going to be around much longer.
It's not. Justin Siena's leased that land out. An assisted living building is going to be going there.
There goes the runner to second base. The pitch is taken. There's the throw down there, and it goes out into center field. That will allow Mauderer to score from third base and allow Vasquez, after the steal of second, to come all the way around third. He's coming in, and he will score as well.
That's actually two errors on that play. I would give the first error, I would give it to the catcher because he hit right over the bag.
Yeah.
Probably the shortstop, and then the second error is going to be by the center fielder for overrunning the ball, letting the guy from second score all the way.
Yeah. So Brubaker still at the plate, and he hits the ball toward right center field. Center fielder going over. He's not going to get there. It lands between the right fielder, Wesson, and Young in center field, rounding second on his way to third base as the throw comes into the infield. And going in with a slide at third base without a throw is Jack Brubaker. That's a second triple they've had in this inning.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to that play where Horn threw what they had first and third, and Emerson Catholic was throwing, and the shortstop and second baseman they crossed there, but you have to communicate, and
yeah,
that's the inexperience of the new shortstop.
Well, Maxwell Manning, the ninth batter, and the opposing pitcher takes ball one outside. Tommy Lopez having trouble getting out of this top half of the first inning, as six runs have scored so far. The pitch taken for ball two. There have been five hits in the inning. A couple walks.
This could be it for Lopez. Yep.
Yeah, we have the pitching changes coming up now, I think. Well, maybe not.
Like Dunkel's going, well, Dunkel's going to short.
It looks like Lopez short. Going to third.
Yeah, he's Lopez going to third, and looks like Natuzzi is going to pitch.
Okay, so Will Natuzzi will come in to pitch with Brubaker at third base and the ninth batter in the batting order coming up before Justin Siena even comes to the plate. And still only one out.
Yeah, it hasn't been pretty, that's for sure. But give Marin Catholic credit. I mean, they're hitting the ball. They're finding the gaps. They're aggressive on the bases. They're making things happen.
We'll be back in a moment there. We'll take a moment out here with the pitching change and return with a 6-0 Marin Catholic lead. You're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at kvon.com. Along with Alan Rossi, this is Iris E. Smith here at Braves Field, as the Braves are having all kinds of problems trying to get out of this top half of the first inning.
Yeah, definitely being down six runs in the first inning is tough, and Marin Catholic has a runner at third and one out, and they could actually make it a touchdown here.
Here's the hesitation by Natuzzi. The pitch is outside. Will Natuzzi on the mound. Boy, that Natuzzi name, that's been around Justin for some time.
Yeah, I was very fortunate to be able to coach Brandon Natuzzi. Great young man.
Next delivery is missing outside for ball four. So the opposing pitcher, Manning, gets a walk. So they've batted around and still only one out, and that one out was on a kind of disputed call at home plate.
He was out, definitely, but the pitcher did a good job, actually, Lopez, of blocking the plate.
Yeah, the runner arrived at just about the same time the ball. He got there just about the same time. One out, and the leadoff batter, Mauderer, hits the ball in the air, over the backstop, out of play. Larson on deck, had a double. In that batting around in the first inning, they had just five hits, but there were two walks, and make that three walks and an error in that frame. Here's the hesitation again. One down yet, and it's 6-0 with two runners on. Swing and a miss. So the pitcher, Will Natuzzi, gets ahead here on an 0-2 count. We have a chance to check Will's stats as a pitcher. We have an opportunity to see what he has.
He's got a 3.89 ERA, which is pretty good.
Yeah. He works from the stretch. The pitch hit toward center field. The center fielder coming in on the run. It's going to be a Texas League single and a run scored, as coming in from third base is Brubaker. Going down to second base and holding there is Manning, and Maurer is safe with an RBI single here in the first inning, and that makes it 7-0 with runners on first and second. And here's the 11th batter in the inning.
Yeah, when things are going bad, those are the things that happen,
boy.
Right there. Just out there on the Bermuda Triangle, we called it, just where no man's land.
They used to call those Texas Leaguers.
Yes, and that's definitely, you can call it whatever you want. You
know, just. The pitch, the ball is hit in the air, should be an out, shortstop backing up. Getting out on the outfield grass. He drops the ball.
Yeah, it's infield fly.
But it's an infield fly.
Actually, and this guy, they can throw him out.
There's a throw to second base. They've got a run down now. The runner from second is going to be tagged out, and so it's a double play to get out of the inning.
And I would argue the infield fly.
Yeah, that was out on the outfield grass.
Yeah. As a baseball player at the varsity level, you should know when the umpires are yelling infield fly, you just go back and stand on the base and you stay there. I mean, you can advance at your own risk, and he did, and he got no man's land. And so Justin Siena gets out of the inning.
Yeah, that's the ball was dropped. So that helped out a bit, as that was the 11th batter to come to the plate. But in the top half of the first inning, 7 runs scored on 6 hits, 3 walks, and a few errors in there. As we go into the bottom of the first inning, Dunkel, Natuzzi, and Horn are scheduled up for the Braves, trailing 7-0. Well, this game that was supposed to have started about 4:30, as we come into the bottom of the first inning, we get to see the first pitch from Manning. He hasn't thrown a pitch yet in the game, and already ahead 7-0.
Yeah, and he had to sit around for a while. So, but he's thrown 17 innings this year, and so he's let's see what his ERA is. But I didn't realize he had thrown that many innings. So
His team ERA is 2.54, which is very impressive for the overall team average.
Yeah, he's got a 3.63 ERA, so he's had 6 appearances on the year. So he's definitely got some innings underneath his belt, which is always kind of nice. And like I said, they've always been really, really good Marin Catholic with pitching-wise. And why wouldn't they be when you have a former major league pitcher, you know, in Jesse Foppert as your coach? So, that was a little rough of a start, and maybe that's why Jesse didn't take infield outfield. He wanted him to be all rested because they're going to be running around the bases, you know. So
I'll tell you, that was some and the outs that were recorded were very unusual. The one that was tagged out at home plate, and then the double play where the shortstop dropped the ball out on the outfield grass and turned it into a double play. That was the infield fly rule had been called by the umpire, which was an automatic out of the batter. And then the runner at second, when he saw the ball dropped, took off for third base, thought that he had to advance, which he did not.
Yeah,
and he was tagged out.
Those are the things that drive you crazy as a coach, because you just assume sometimes that players should know this, but they really don't.
It's a learning process.
It is.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be lefty against lefty as we come into the bottom half of the first inning. Nolan Dunkel, a sophomore, playing third base. Well, he uses different positions. He takes the pitch in tight for ball one.
Yeah, he's batting .273 on the year.
5'11" sophomore. Looking at the left-hander, Maxwell Manning, who rocks into motion, kicks the the right leg and delivers over for a called strike. 7-0 as we're here in the bottom half of the first inning. Braves getting their first bat of the season. Jeremy Tayson coaching down the third baseline. The ball is hit to left field. It'll be a base hit. Good way to start. Left fielder Terrington over, fields the ball, and rifles it into the shortstop, Eli Larson. And that will hold the runner, Dunkel, at first base, leading off with a single to left.
Yeah, it was good job by Dunkel going the other way down the left field line. And, you know, leadoff hitter on, and see if Justin Siena can answer.
Another name that's been around the baseball circle.
A lot of Dunkels have come through this school, and all of them have been good baseball players.
Natuzzi takes the pitch. It's over for a called strike. Will Natuzzi started out at shortstop, came in as a pitcher in the inning. He's looking for his first hit of the year. He's 5'6" junior, has yet to have a hit and batting in that second spot.
Yes.
Takes a pitch for strike two. It showed bunt on the play.
Yeah, it would be nice to see if he can get a hit, you know, to get an average. So
0-for-13 coming into this game, batting in that number two slot. They've made a few changes as they have some shifts in personnel for the Braves. Here's the pitch coming in, up a little high.
Yeah, sometimes as a coach you need to send a message, you know, that especially when you're trying to, you know, start the program the way you want it to head and what direction. And
well, he likes Natuzzi. Natuzzi has some real good potential, too. Let's see what he can do with his 1-2 delivery. Missed away for even.
That was a good spot, actually. A great 1-2 pitch right there, right on the outside corner, a little bit outside. But the ball was down. It's a good location.
Dylan Joyce playing first base. Tito Vasquez at second. Eli Larson, the shortstop. And Harry Motterer at third base. Maxwell Manning on the mound, delivering to Brubaker here on a 2-2 count. And it is over for strike three. Natuzzi watched the ball just sail over the plate and called out on strikes.
Yeah, definitely, you know, look like it was right down the middle of the plate. So it's two strikes. You better be hacking. Anything close.
John Horn coming up for the first time, 6'1 junior.
Yeah, John's batting 265 on the year. He's got 9 hits. Doubles.
Holds that bat up high, too, as the pitcher fires it to first base. And batter stays in the box, selects not to step out. Well, 265, that's pretty good. The catcher batting average. As the pitcher delivers to the plate this time, a swing and a miss. Boy, he was going for the fence on that one.
Yeah, he was trying to hit a 7-run home run there.
He was.
So, you know.
Braves started out the bottom of the first inning with a leadoff single by Dunkel, and he's over there at first base with one down and Horn at the plate. The delivery to him got the outside corner, I guess.
That was a good spot.
Yeah. He likes to work that spot, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. It's got a little bit of a natural left-hander's tail.
But that's tough to do on a right-handed batter, I think.
It is.
Easier to do on a left-handed batter. Here's the 0-2 offering. On the way, and missed, but not much. Yeah. Again, he's working away from the batter.
Yeah, it looked like he overthrew that a little bit. His front shoulder flew out, caused that usually normally for that thing to sail outside.
Tommy Lopez is on deck for the Braves, trailing 7-0 here in the bottom half of the first inning. The pitch way outside.
Same thing there.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of overthrown a little bit.
That one went up high, too.
Yeah, usually what happens is your front shoulder flies out, and then your arm ends up dragging back behind, and that causes the ball to sail up and away.
Yeah, it's MCAL baseball at Braves Field in Napa, California, on a 2-2 delivery coming
that
in.
That was better.
And the ball is hit to left field. A base hit for Horn. He'll stop at first base, and stopping at second base is Dunkel. And the Braves get something going here in the bottom half of the first inning. Got a ways to go, though, as they trail 7-0. And Lopez is coming up.
You got to peck away. You know, you get try to score a run or two here and, you know, at least try to get some of that momentum back. So Lopez batting 263 on the year.
Right-hander, as he did throw. 5'11 junior. Left-hander on the mound, Maxwell Manning. He's only a sophomore. Checks the runner at second. And delivers a good pitch over the plate. Lopez had a little bit of flinch in his motion, like he was kind of holding up and he saw the ball was over, but too late to swing. 0-1 the count to him as the ball is hit out of play off to the right. Boom. Over toward the lacrosse game going on there with Justin Sienna.
I haven't seen Manning throw much of a breaking pitch yet. No, you know what I mean? So it seems like it's been all fastballs.
Well, he's been trying to spot the ball. There's a breaking pitch. And the strike three.
Yeah. And the first base is occupied. There's less than two outs. The batter's out. Catcher did a good job by not throwing it. Runners did a good job by not advancing. There was a curveball. That was a nice curveball. That's the first one I've seen him throw. So he's got a good one.
Dom Moore, Dominic, a 6-foot junior, left fielder with two on, two out, bottom of the first, and the pitch to him is hit out of play. It looks like off the right, maybe it's playable for the first baseman going over, and I guess just missed.
It's an easier play for the second baseman on that. And a lot of times your second basemans give up on that because they see the first baseman. It's a tough play by the first baseman because a lot of times he's he doesn't have the angle. You know, the second baseman has a better angle, but I've seen it happen too many times where
– in the majors it happens.
Yes, where the second baseman just kind of gives up on it because they think the first baseman has it. And the next thing you know, it falls.
That's where the Astros won a ball game 1-0 the other night on the pop-up in the infield, a runner getting two bases on the pop-up. There's the pitch over for
another strike. Breaking ball. He's got a really nice curveball, man.
Yeah, right after he heard you say that. Yeah. I'm going to show that Rossi a thing or two.
I'm sure.
I can sling that curve. No balls, two strikes, two outs. 7-0 score. Base hit would help and get the Braves probably on the board.
Center fielder's playing pretty shallow, too.
He is, and the left fielder's shallow.
Yeah.
In fact, the right fielder's playing as deep as any of the fielders there. Well, they're not holding the runners on. And there's a swing and a miss for strike three. Three strikeouts by the sophomore in that inning. Two of them were called strikes. And that will end the top of the first inning. No runs. There were a couple hits in the inning and a couple runners left on. It will be Skinner, Tarkington, and Joyce coming up for the Wildcats in the second inning. They lead the Braves 7-0. Well, we're just talking about a 10-run rule. That does not happen until the fifth inning.
Yeah, I know I fought for that for years, and I was the only one that voted to have the 10-run rule, and everybody else was like, no, we need to play. It's an opportunity to play more kids. And I was always like, first of all, if you're kicking my butt by 10 runs after five innings, I want to go home. And the umpires want to go home, so I'm glad that they changed that rule. So.
Well, now they did in the CIF. Now, whether or not the leagues have changed it, I know the MEL has that 10-run rule.
They do. I know the MCAL, though, they had their own rule, and like I said, but I thought I saw earlier in the year that maybe Justin Siena had lost maybe 10-0 after five innings, so maybe it has changed.
Yeah, well, I, as I know, we broadcast, you were with me, we broadcast the Napa Vintage game, and Napa got a run in the top of the fifth inning to win it 10-0.
Yeah, the MEL, MCAL is one of the few leagues that didn't have that implemented, and it just drove me crazy.
Okay, it's right-hander Will Natuzzi ready for his second inning of work. Starting out is Ben Skinner, a left-handed batter, facing the slants of the right-hander, and the ball is hit down the left field line but goes out of play. And his coach, Jesse Fawfert, slapping his hands and going through a swinging motion there with his arms, being a bit animated, but not as much as you were, Alan.
Yeah.
You were really animated.
And, you know, Jesse, he wasn't a hitter. I mean, he was a pitcher, so I don't know how much he knows about hitting. But
one thing I remember about you when you were coaching, you were also over by the dugout a lot. You
spent
I
was instructing all the time.
Yeah. Taken down low for a ball.
I was always teaching. You know, everything was teaching. And so anything was happening, whether we were up the plate or not, I was passing on to the players so they could learn. So
good. Skinner, who had an RBI single and later scored in the first inning, is up there now with the one ball, one strike, and the delivery comes into him. And it's hit towards center field. Center fielder coming in. It gets by him, and he missed it. He tried to get a grab of the ball. It goes towards the fence, rounding second base and heading for third, and holding up at third base is Skinner with a leadoff triple here in the second inning. That's their third triple in the game, and we're only in the second inning of play. Wow. The center fielder, Noah Young, give him credit. He wanted to make the play.
Yeah. You know, as a center fielder, if you leave your feet, you better knock it down because there is nobody behind you. So you it's either all or nothing. And so once he decided that he was not going to catch it, he should have bodied up.
I thought he was thinking that he's probably going to catch it all the way. Here's the pitch, and the ball is hit in
That's
the air.
Probably going to stay in.
And it is the catcher coming over. He couldn't get under the ball, though, and it hit safely in foul territory for a noisy strike for Jay Tarkington.
Yeah, that's another one that, catchers panic a lot about on stuff like that. It's just like, just take your time. That ball will come to you. Just relax.
But you have to back up a bit. That when that ball comes down, it's going to slam.
Yeah, you're supposed to teach your catchers to keep the ball in front of you so your momentum is going towards the ball, not back. And so you got to be patient.
Tarkington looks at the pitch and then hits it in the infield, but it goes over the backstop now. Foul. Jay had a two-run single in the first inning. He later scored two, their fourth run in the inning. And they scored seven runs in that first inning.
Yeah, Tarkington's batting 300. He's got nine hits on the year, a couple of doubles, so.
You can add to his RBI total, picked up two already in this game. He's just a junior. As the right-hander, Will Natuzzi, working from the stretch, runner at third, and his pitch is hit in the infield. First baseman coming over, catcher coming over, catcher calling for it.
That was much better by Horn.
Yep.
He didn't panic. He kept the ball in front of him. So that was a good job by him. Good adjustment.
Yep, got under it. Had tossed the mask away, so it was not going to be in his way.
Yeah, and he wasn't sprinting. He was, you know, kind of jogging. And
yeah. Well played.
Yep.
By John Horn. Well, that'll bring up Dylan Joyce, who had a triple and an RBI in the first inning.
Yeah, batting 421. Center fielder's playing back this time.
That's, yeah, he's backed up a ways. So has the left fielder. Yep. Left fielder's backed up quite a ways. Playing around a little bit to his left. Big opening there right down the left field line. If you can pull the ball, you get some long runs there. Here's Joyce watching the pitch down into the dirt for a ball. One ball and no strikes. Runner at third base, one down. Top half of the second inning, 7-0. Marin Catholic in the lead. Justin Sienna in the field. Jesse Fofford coaching the third base line as Chris Bocciolupi, Adam Clear, Chase Fontaine working with him this year. And the ball is cut at and missed. Nice pitch there. Changeup by Natuzzi.
Yep. Natuzzi coming in throwing strikes.
Walks back to the pitcher's mound. He's got Tommy Lopez playing at third base now. Dunkel is over at shortstop. Smuts is the second baseman. And Hagberg is playing at first. The pitch inside. Came close to hitting him. Wesson is out in right field. Young in center field. And Moore out in left field for the Braves on Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
I guess we should have thought of that in that first inning.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, 7-0 Marin Catholic. One out here. 2-1 pitch.
Had the hesitation by Natuzzi. Checks the runner. And delivers. And that stayed up, too. You know, I was thinking that earlier when it was a change up, but that's about all he's been throwing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does he have a fastball?
I think he does, and, you know, maybe it is his fastball. It's just not thrown very hard.
Mutterer on deck for Marin Catholic, and that stayed up a little high for ball four. That's the fourth walk issued by Braves pitching the first by Natuzzi. Runners on the corners now with one down here. A double play would get him out of the inning. And the batter, Mutterer. Mutterer is a fellow who was safe on an error by the third baseman. Stole the second base and came in to score on a triple by Brubaker. Right-hander, one down, two on. Here in the top half of the second inning. And the pitch down a little low. Horn's getting a big workout there at catching spot. You need a durable player for that position.
Yeah, definitely a catcher.
You were fortunate. You always had some pretty good catchers.
I had great catchers, you know, from Dunkel to Rick Carpenter to Josh Leonard. I mean, I can go on and on and on.
You didn't have Castellucci.
Had Castellucci. I mean, like I said, just – can go on and on and on. We were so blessed here for many years to have a great catcher, always.
Yeah.
And it's really
and
the key.
Matt Baker from last year, just a junior, but hurt that knee in football.
Yeah.
That took him out of
very
baseball.
Unfortunate. Very
oh,
unfortunate.
Oh, boy.
Injury.
He could have been the leader of this team.
Yes.
Yeah. I think they batted him about, well, I don't know where they changed him around a bit last year, but he was an outstanding player, and his brother was a pretty good ball player, too.
Yeah.
All right, here's the 2-0 delivery on the way, and the ball is hit in the air in the infield. Second baseman calling for it. Smuts is under it. He makes the put out, and the runners hold. Skinner at third base, Joyce at first base as pops up to the second baseman for the second out. Hey, if they get this next batter, they can get out of the inning without another run.
Yeah, and it would be, you know, good.
Be a real plus.
It's just try to at least stop Marin Catholic's, momentum, especially since Marin Catholic led off this inning with a triple. So he's still sitting there with two outs.
Yeah. You remember, did Fulford pitch for a while with the Giants?
He did. For a few years, yep.
Here's the pitch coming in. The ball is hit towards center field. Center fielder going over. He's going to have to hurry. He gets over there, gets under it. He makes the grab. Nice job out there by Noah Young on that one as Vasquez flies out to the center fielder Noah Young for the third out in the inning. No runs. There was a leadoff triple and a walk in the inning. And we'll go into the bottom half of the second inning. And the guy that made that catch, Noah Young, will lead it off, trailing 7-0.